Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Winter is coming.
Heavy rain, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires up for the challenge? Tread confidently in winter's worst with a set of new tires from Tire Rack. They sell only the best, like the full line of Michelin tires. Go to TireRack.com/sports. That's TireRack.com/sports. Tell them what you drive. Your tires will ship fast and free to you or one of over 10,000 recommended installers. That's TireRack.com, TireRack.com, TireRack.com. The way tire buying should be.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Blah, blah.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Blah, blah, blah.
You are not listening to The Exorcist. No, this is, in fact, Fox blah, Sports Radio.
Blah.
And there is the vomiting,
blah,
the gut-wrenching, heart strings torn of one young Jason Smith.
Blah, blah, blah.
He's now possessed by Pazuzu from The Exorcist. Call Father Karras. You okay over there, buddy?
No, Butch.
That one stings, Butch. Especially when your nemesis sucks as badly as he did.
I am Ving Rhames in Pulp Fiction. No, Butch, I'm pretty far from okay. Not great, Bob.
That's an interesting comparison. Want to draw that one out a little bit longer?
Any movie where guys aren't okay, I'm not okay. Not okay, Bob. We're live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection. Over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com will help you get there. Quid pro quo. The Knicks had one big comeback in the final 30 seconds, down 5. You didn't think that was going to happen again. Nope. Knicks couldn't close the deal, up 6 with 30 seconds left to go at home with a berth in the conference semifinals on the line, and they lose to the Sixers in overtime, 112-106. I don't know what to say. This was such an awful throwing up on themselves by the Knicks. And for everything that's happened up until now, I go, great. Because obviously now they're having trouble. They have trouble with the Sixers team that Joel Embiid is a shell of what he is normally offensively. They can't go to him down the court, right? He's still a force defensively when he can move rebounds. He's still passing well, but he can't do anything offensively. And still the Knicks have trouble and they can't guard Tyrese Maxey. Okay, final 30 seconds of this game, three big things happen. Okay, three big things happen. And over the course of the game. And number one is, I don't know how you foul Tyrese Maxey and give him a four-point play. I don't know, Mitchell Robinson, what you're doing. You're up six with 30 seconds left. You don't make sure you're not fouling him and putting him on the free throw line for a four-point play. The guy is hot. Maxey is hot. What are you doing fouling him? You have that. Then all Josh Hart has to do is hit both free throws, and the Knicks are winning this game. And he misses the first one with about 12 seconds left so badly that you knew right when it left his hand, it was about a foot and a half short. Yeah. Like, this wasn't just, hey, I missed it and it bounced off the back of the rim. This was like, did it slip out of his hand? Like, as soon as it left his hand, I said, he missed that. He missed that. And then you have Maxey hitting the big, well, what can you say? You hit a logo three. Maxey, he was heat check all night. So you had those two big plays. The Knicks missed a free throw. You send him to the free throw line for a four-point play. But mainly, I look at this and I go, man, as hot as Maxey was, he sure had a lot of shots where there was nobody there was about 5 feet, and there was nobody in his face. There was 5 feet between him mm-hmm. and the closest defender. Like, you know he's taking all the shots. Embiid is the decoy, and you want to make somebody else. Make Kelly Oubre hit a shot, right? Make Tobias Harris hit a shot. Yes, they shot well, but make somebody else. And every time, it's like Maxey would dribble, find the open spot, and I'm like, how does he just back the defender off? And the Knicks don't throw any kind of look at him like, hey, you have a help defender over here that's going to help get you a double. There's none of that. And Maxey has all kinds of time to shoot. I felt like Rui Hachimura was guarding Maxey, and Darvin Ham was calling the defense watching tonight's game. Like, those, the Knicks just threw up on themselves. And then watching this, it all break down, I'm saying to myself, yeah, you can go through the ins and outs about all the different strategies and fouling, not fouling. I get that. But mm-hmm. overall, I mean, when you watch Tyrese Maxey get the ball very easily down court and get shots when the Sixers are doing the same thing to Jalen Brunson, and at least they're making them work for it more. Like they make Brunson really work to get open. And no, Brunson is not physically the same player as Tyrese Maxey is, but wow, you'd think the Knicks can make it at least a little bit more difficult for him and not just say, hey, I'm going to take a quick drive, then I'm going to take a jab step, and I'm going to have 8 feet in front of me, and as hot as I am, I'm just going to keep going, man. I mean, that was the most frustrating part watching that game. Well, that and the missed free throw and the four-point play. Those are your three biggest things from the game tonight. This is why I opened the show by going, blah, 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 blah. Blurred. Blah, blah.
They even gave you that gift of the flagrant foul.
Blah.
You even got that. You got two free throws
right there. I'm pretty sure Joel Embiid meant to hit sit him on the head. Brunson on the head.
By that point, he'd lost all benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, look, you
right?
see the
so
player
like in
he
a normal
is.
In a normal flow of things, that's a all right. You bought the pump fake, and you thought the ball was coming up, and you grazed his head. But since you've been on the head of every newspaper, every talk show, radio, and television, that you're becoming a dirty player, yeah, you ain't winning that one.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've seen over the course of the past couple few days, this is not, oh, I'm protecting myself. It's, oh, no, you're going out of your way to be a dirty player. And you can just see it on it. He's got Brunson in front of him. He just comes down with his head, with his hand around the top of his head. And you watch the foul. I can't believe they didn't look at it more earlier in the quarter, in the fourth quarter, when Brunson was going to the hoop and Tyrese Maxey just pushed him down from behind. Like, that's dangerous, man. It was just whistle, he goes to the free throw. I'm like, wow, he just blew by him and he just pushed him in the hips down to the ground. I'm like, this is that's dangerous, man. You can't foul a guy
plays,
from behind like that.
Yeah, a couple of things where it got a little out of sorts. Now let's rewind. As you talked about the four point play, I mean, Robinson, you know, just got caught in the air, caught the fake, took the lean in and the bump. Never mind that Maxey took a couple extra steps after he'd already established his position. But yeah, they're not going to call it. They're baby steps. They still count. And then the missed free throw. I liken it to my daughter's reaction when she goes to kick a free kick and mishits it. So it's not the high arcing shot down the line kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And instead, it's like a worm burner. And you'll hear her yell, ah, damn it. And everybody goes, your kid, huh? I'm like, yeah, it's my kid. What am I going to do? Same thing here with that free throw. Like, as soon as it left his hands, like, you could read the giant thought bubble cartoon thing going on in his head right there. Maxey, finds and creates space time and again, showing and giving him his proper credit. As good as the Knicks are at shutting down most guys and defending as well as they do against most guys, he ain't most guys. And I think the box score needs to be updated because Embiid did have a quadruple-double tonight when you add that 10th turnover in.
Yeah, yeah, you add that turnover.
Right
He's
now
got
it's
it.
Only sitting there at 9. Don't go shorting him. He earned that 10th turnover.
Look, and let's talk about Embiid for a second. Look, we got a lot to get to with Tyrese Maxey.
Plenty, yeah.
Embiid is, you see the kind of player he is, playing basically on one leg with a triple-double. Now quadruple-double, you get that 10th turnover, right? Also had 5 blocks, right? Almost had a 10-by-5 game,
five
more blocks for Embiid.
How about that?
But defensively, Embiid is still the guy. You could tell he is still moving well enough defensively. And on offense, when he gets the ball on the block and it's a clear out for him, he definitely still sees the floor well enough to make the right play. It's just you can't dump the ball into Embiid and expect, okay, Embiid's going to get to the hoop, he's the MVP, and he's going to score 35. He can't do that right now. And that's what baffles me about the Knicks is that, you know, Maxey's the only guy that's going to really kill you in this game, and still, you have one guy on him, and he's losing him, and he's not. I'm watching this. I'm going, okay. Embiid clearly is just a shell of himself offensively. He can't move. He can't move. He can't do anything that he normally does. This is where you have to say, all right, we have to. This is Maxey. They are going to be Maxey driven. The only way back in this game is if they're hitting threes and hitting them big from the outside. It's where you say, okay, that's the number one guy we got to stop now. Because Embiid, if he gets points, who knows? The guy's exhausted. He gets in the lane. Who knows? He's had trouble hitting free throws from time to time. But this is where the Knicks completely failed. And I think the Sixers are walking away from this game going, man, I mean, Maxey, well, that was a great game. It's like the Nuggets walking away from the game last night. Man, that was a great game there, Jamal Murray. What do you think about that last shot? Yeah, I'm surprised. They didn't close out on me on that play. Like every play I'm watching, how are you not closing on Tyrese Maxey? How are you not making it more difficult for him? Because clearly he's more athletic than to have one guy trailing him. You got to roll coverages towards him. You got to have some kind of help where he can't just dribble and find a spot and take a step back and just hit it when a guy's going like that. I mean, you got to do something. I mean, look, I give Maxey all the credit in the world. The guy's been on a heater, man. And, you know, look, we talked about it beginning of the season. Hey, the Sixers finally found their guy to be the number two guy for Embiid, right? All this searching, all this, they finally found their guy and he was doing it. But when you're up 6 with 30 seconds left and you're fouling the guy behind the three-point line, and then you're allowing him to make these big heat check shots or these shots that keep the Sixers in the game when it looks like the Knicks are up 5 and they're going to run away with it, and he hits a big 3. Oh yeah, now it's a two-point game again. I mean, these are huge momentum swings. These are huge moments in the game. And you know, I don't see Maxey with a hand in his face. I don't see Maxey having to hit one of those Kobe Bryant fadeaway off one leg over two guys. Like, I mean, it was immensely much easier than I expected to see him hit those shots tonight. I mean, look, take nothing away from him, but wow. I mean, when a guy's on that kind of heat, you kind of got to do something a little bit different. This is on Thibodeau for not reacting to that, thinking, okay, we're going to escape this way. They're not going to keep hitting shots. Everything is fine. We're going to get what we need on the offensive end, and not being more proactive in the second half and fourth quarter and overtime of this game.
Well, conversely, you had a number of possessions for your Knicks where it just became all about Brunson and a lot of standing around. So when he did go to give the ball up, guys were very slow to react because they just thought he was, all right, it's my game now, and taking over. And I don't discredit him because, I mean, look what he's done for you and some of the shots he's hit along the way, a little at the elbow, kind of coming across the lane, little floaters, all of that stuff, you know, just shot after shot. He's been tremendous. But sometimes you end up ball watching as teammates. So when he goes to fire the pass to you in the corner, you're not even looking up because you're expecting the shot to go up. So you're taking a little bit of a breather, kind of like, all right, I'll get back on defense when I need to. But in the moment, I'm good. So that came back to bite him. We could talk about timeout management and Tibbs trying to slow down some of the runs and such. But it's one game. And I did like the fact that on the national broadcast, they were scolding the Knicks fans. Like, wait a minute, you've been watching this game and you're getting up and leaving? What the hell are you doing? Like, the clock hasn't expired yet. Yeah, I mean, the still shot of Jon Stewart's about as good as it gets.
No, it's like the end of the last episode of Seinfeld when they were leaving before the verdict was read, and George's dad says, "We have to go. We have to beat the traffic. We have to go. Let's go." But they haven't sentenced him yet, Frank. We have to beat the traffic. Let's go. This is disappointing is just an unbelievable. That's such an understatement. I mean, this was 30 seconds left, and go New York, go New York, go, and they're showing Bill Bradley is at the game. Like, oh my god,
Bill, you had
Bradley's
that whole row of
87.
Whole row of veteran Knicks former players there, including the Patrick man. I mean, all of it is there to celebrate, and then that happened. Fortunately, we came on air right after, so we got to have you throwing up live and in living color, because otherwise we might have found you, you know, in a dungeon somewhere, just kind of rocking yourself back and forth. So here we are. You get a little bit of therapy for the next 4 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. This is just I always go back and forth. Like, is this the best thing to be on the air after a game like this to talk about it?
Hell yeah, it is.
Get back, or is the best thing to just forget about it and go drink? Like, what's the best thing to do?
Well, you know what?
And I don't even drink that much.
If you were to say pull out a little bit of tequila, maybe something that would go nice with a cup of coffee, you know, you'd be okay. I wouldn't tell on you.
I'll tell you, man. This is just awful.
Just get another Big Mac. Maybe that'll calm your nerves.
It is just awful. Now, away from this, let me just say this. Because away from this, yes, we'll have a lot on the Knicks game tonight. Yes, go New York, go New York, go. Yeah, I know.
You don't sound like you have any heart behind it at all. Like, you've given up on your squad.
Yeah, go New York, go New York, go New York, yeah. And they're gone. Now we got to go back. It's going to go 7 games, and who knows what's going to happen, and more guys are going to get hurt because you lose a guy every day now. So that's go New York, go New
York. Does Joel Embiid have an extra day whereby he could travel to Germany to get some platelet and other treatments?
No, you bring
very quickly?
Why do all these people have to travel? At this point, they have enough money. You fly that blood in from Germany and get it.
Be some legalese between,
procedures that
you can do abroad versus here.
Yeah.
You might still be going to Jack Nicholson's mob doctor, in the 1989 classic film Batman.
I think you can fly blood across the you can do that, right? I think that's a big deal. They can fly blood, can't you?
I've tried, buddy.
You put it in a little Capri Sun bag, and it looks like you got drinks and stuff. Yeah, that's fine. It's under this. Yeah, that's fine. I think you can
it's a little viscous,
probably.
But you know what? It's special sugar added to thicken it up.
I do want to say this, because this is something you don't get every day. Yes, we'll get to more than that. The Dodgers right now. And the Diamondbacks are in a delay in the top of the first inning. Wait, it's raining in Arizona? No, they are in a B delay because there's a spelling bee going on, and it's an extra. No, there is a B delay because near the field there is a hive of bees that is formed, and it's too dangerous to play. And so now it's on the netting behind the plate, and it's getting bigger and bigger. So there's a B delay, and it's. That's a lot of bees. It's not a small hive by any means. It just keeps growing. So now they need beekeepers. I guess Jason Statham shows up. And they need beekeepers to come and get rid of the bees and hopefully save the bees and bring them out someplace, I'm sure they will, and where they can go and have their hive in a safer place. So we have a bee delay going on right now in Major League Baseball.
You know, there's a really good old Randy Travis song called Smoke in the Hive.
Okay.
Talking about how you you don't reach for the honey without smoking the hive.
Maybe that's the song they're playing while they're waiting for this game to begin.
You don't point your pistol before you check each chamber.
Okay.
You don't drink. No, you don't drink when you drive. It's ordinary common sense to avoid that danger. Mm. And you don't reach for the honey without smoking the hive.
It
I got
really
a great
is...
rendition of that with him and Clint Eastwood if you want to hear it sometime.
See, I'm thinking it's really fascinating to watch and see the video of this. I'm thinking like the, what was it in singles when Pearl Jam, they were all high and they were watching the bees. They go, oh, this is really cool.
But you know, we have a shortage, right? So this is kind of a big deal.
That's why I said you got to save the bees, man. You got to
really
save gotta the bees.
Be careful here.
Save the bees. What you got
to
do?
What happens to the guys that were warming up? Are they now going to be unavailable? The pitchers?
No.
Dodgers are already short staffed. They've sent a lot of guys to the to the IL, buddy.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Thoroughbred racing has a new independent regulator, HISA, implementing comprehensive reforms, and the sport is combining hands-on care with cutting-edge technology to help keep its athletes safe. To learn more, visit safetyrunsfirst.com. That's safetyrunsfirst.com. Well, coming up next, we will have more on this absolute gackfest by the Knicks. What is next for LeBron James and the Lakers? Is he really retiring? Is he really going to be a free agent? That's next right here. Jason and Mike, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Tom Verducci from Fox Sports, MLB Network, and Sports Illustrated.
And I'm Joe Madden, and we're going to be around to talk a little bit about managerial decisions and what may have occurred in the dugout, maybe in the 1980s.
It's the Book of Joe podcast. I can't wait for this, Joe. We're going to dive into what goes on in the dugout and behind the scenes in Major League Baseball.
Cars, wine, whatever else we want to talk about.
Yeah, well, there are no boundaries, right? Listen to the Book of Joe podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yes, it's sad song night with the Knicks loss to the Sixers.
Is it really a sad thing?
No room for Mitchell Robinson on that float after the foul. That
pushed you
off.
Him into the cold ocean?
You got to save somebody else. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. We'll have more on, the night in the NBA, let's just say, coming up in a few minutes.
Just breathe, buddy. Just breathe. It's okay.
We are now underway with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks.
Well, yeah, we are.
A big deal. All right, 0-0. Top of the second. Wait a minute. It's almost midnight. Well, yeah. There was a delay of over 80 minutes because of a bee situation. A swarm of bees trying to create a nest on top of the netting behind home plate. Can't play. It's dangerous. And they had a beekeeper come. They put him up on the joist, and he went up and, you know, was very excited, you know, really leaned into it, you know, got the bees up in the shop vac and took the, you know, took the joist back down and went out throughout the first ball. And after 80 minutes, we had baseball, and the bee delay was finally solved.
Matt and, Hilton, you know,
not all heroes wear capes, Mike Harmon. Sometimes they wear bee hats and bee netting.
No, he really owned this, right? He didn't take the netted hat off until he got there, and it was like, ta-da, here I am. No, good for him. Mm-hmm. Good for him. Matt Hilton living it up. Huge press conference after the fact as well. So, I mean, you know, take the victory lap. You know,
and TJ, clearly there was a buzzkill, but then it was solved before the game, TJ.
And evidently they were playing I Need a Hero while he was up there taking it down
as
well.
Yeah, of course. Now, I want to know, now, I'm pretty sure I know this, but if it's bees, you have to save them because of the bee shortage.
Yeah.
But if it's wasps or hornets, like, you don't have to because they don't reproduce. They don't reproduce honey or anything. So I think you don't have to do that. Like, but if it's bees, you have to save them. I'm pretty sure
that's still
how
think
it goes.
Pete is going to come get you.
No, no, no. I'm just wondering. Like, I know there's like a rule about it. Like, I remember having a – we had a situation on our block a few years ago, and when we called a beekeeper, he just said, yeah, no, the bees we save and we just, you know, we bring them someplace else. But if it was wasps, you didn't – or hornets, you didn't have to. You could have just, hey, I'm vacuuming up the bees and they're gone. Like, that's – I'm pretty sure that's how it goes. I'm not – I mean, and I don't know what kind of bees these were. I don't know if they were hornets, if they were wasps, they were honeybees. I don't know. But I wonder if that's like a – like, I'm thinking about, is that like a 50-state law? Is there – laws differ on bees from state to state?
I got to imagine there's got to be different legislation enacted for every municipality.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
They're probably going to care more about bees in California than they do. And, you know, I'll let you all pick a random state.
No, I think you care about bees. There's not like there's a bee shortage in only some states, and there's a surplus of bees in another.
No, and what was it? Black Mirror, isn't that the show that did a whole thing about the robotic bees that they had going on that suddenly it went out of control?
No, no, that was Hunger Games, the Tracker Jackers. That
well, we did have the Tracker Jackers. Yeah, yeah, no, there's that too.
Yeah, that was that. So just understand. I mean, that was in a movie. That wasn't
can real. We can we play one of the sad songs from the latest Hunger Games movie for Jason later?
No mechanical bees. No, not yet, apparently. At some point will be, but no mechanical bees yet. But I know, I'm pretty sure that's the rule. Like, that's what the beekeeper told us when he came to take care of bees. Yeah, that if it's bees, like, you got to be really careful and take them and up in the shop vac, and then you let them go. And so, but like other bees, you don't have to. And I don't know if that's the rule everywhere, but now I feel like I should have been up more on bee law coming in tonight than I was.
Well, it gives you another opportunity to be a better man and more educated man tomorrow.
This
and if
is
nothing
true.
Else, you can go get yourself one of those netted hats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Walking around.
You know, that's never been a great Halloween costume, and I always thought it would be. Like a beekeeper's, it's kind of easy. You're the man with the yellow hat, except you put a just put a vent in front of your face.
The man with the yellow hat. Now we're going Curious George.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, look, and I'm trying to Google Save Bees Arizona, and like the only thing coming up is like stuff from 2020 and bee farms and everything else. I can't find anything about these bees tonight.
Over time, you will be educated.
Exit Albata Fresca. Coming up next, Mike and I get into what was without a doubt the biggest story of the night, regardless as whether or not it makes me want to throw up. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets.
if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Tyrese Maxey.
Shoot it!
TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there with fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Well, it looks like we're going to get game six. The Bucks are thumping the Pacers right now. It's like the Pacers said, yeah, we're up 3-1. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
No Giannis.
No urgency.
No Lillard. And the Bucks lead it 109-88 with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I mean, really, the Pacers right now are going, huh, thank goodness for the Knicks tonight. No one's going to talk about us. Joining us now on the hotline to break down one of the most horrendous losses that I can ever remember. Knicks insider, longtime friend of the show, John Schmielk. He's on Twitter, at Schmielk John. This is one of those games where I don't know what time I'm going to go to bed tonight, man, after the show is over. I really don't. I'm going to be up late thinking about the fourth quarter and overtime.
Yeah, I've been stewing. I got home. I literally took my dog for a walk at like 11:45 getting home from the game just because I didn't know what else to do with myself. It's raining outside. I didn't care. And by the way, how about your update, guys, at the top of the hour? The Sixers extend the series to six games against the hapless Knicks. Hapless. Is this necessary?
That's what I get. That's what I get on the show. That's what I get. For all the go New York, go New York, go, that's kind of my penance on the show. That's what I get.
This is right up there. Game set. I mean, look, obviously the stakes aren't as high, but this is right up there with, you know, Reggie Miller, 8 points in 9 seconds. You know, if this is as bad of a playoff loss as you can have, because the wounds are self-inflicted, right? And look, teams miss free throws at the end of games. It happens. Josh Hart misses a free throw. It happens. You know what doesn't tend to happen? 4 point plays and not step and letting a guy shoot. I know it's a logo three. A two-pointer doesn't hurt you there. You can't let a guy pull up and shoot a wide-open three in this age of the NBA. And Tom, there's video out there, I'm not sure if you guys have seen it, where Tom Thibodeau is screaming at Deuce McBride to foul Maxey, which is what they should have done. He doesn't hear him or doesn't execute or whatever it is. I mean, it's as bad as it gets.
You know, I go back and I keep saying, I don't know what I'm more mad about, and nothing takes the lead. It's Josh Hart missing the free throw, because he doesn't just miss it. He misses it like it left his hand bad. Like, you can tell right away when he shot that wasn't going, right? The four-point play, Mitchell Robinson, which is ridiculous. But what I keep going back to is that, you know, Tyrese Maxey makes the heat check three. You make a shot from the logo. Okay, you make a shot from the logo. But by and large, he was able to run around, and there wasn't guys in his face. He didn't roll coverages for Maxey when Joel Embiid was pretty much a decoy offensively. As much as he could do defensively, Joel Embiid could do nothing on offense. And yet still, Maxey's able to dribble around, stop, jab, step, and there's nobody in his face. Defenders are still 5 feet off him. Like, you would expect that, hey, how about we want to cover Maxey a little bit more because the guy's hitting stuff from everywhere. I wanted to see that more, and we didn't. So those are my three things, John, that I'm up at that I can't decide what I'm more upset about.
Yeah, I agree. I think the defense on Maxey could have been better. Now, look, they're running high and screen roll with Embiid. As hurt as he is, he could still hit wide open spot up three, so that is not an easy play to defend by any means. But it could have been better, and that's what's so frustrating, right? I don't think the Knicks played even their B game tonight. They did not play well. The guys other than Jalen Brunson, I don't think, played very well in the game, and their defense wasn't up to par on Maxey. They came out of the gates flat. They came out of the second half flat, yet they were still in a position up six with, you know, whatever, 20 seconds to go to win this game. And, you know, Mitchell Robinson does things that he would have done 3 or 4 years ago. I thought he had become a smarter player. He didn't show it at the end of the game. And, you know, these are the thing that hurts is that these are the types of losses that can swing a series. This reminds me of the Yankees-Red Sox, right, 2004, where the Yankees are up 3-0, but they have those two brutal late-game losses, one in extra innings. And you just feel the momentum of the series starting to shift in front of your eyes. And that's what it felt like being at that game today. So the Knicks now have, you can't let this get back to game seven. You got to go out to Philadelphia and take care of business because you don't want that do or die game seven. Anything can happen. Maxey gets hot and B gets hot, whatever. But the good thing about this Knicks team, guys, and you know this from watching them, every time this year where you think they're done and they're out and they play terrible, they always figure out a way to bounce back. They're very resilient, this group. They'll have one more chance to show that, or two more chances, really, in game six and seven.
Say that's the one thing that we've defined it over the course of the year. I mean, and Jason living and dying. I don't know how much your arrival here with us helps or his catharsis here and processing it or not, John.
Yeah, I mean, this is as bad as it gets. If you want to laugh, so there's this guy sitting in front of me at the game up in the 200 section. He sits in a seat for the first quarter. You can tell he's kind of wasted. Disappears for two quarters. All right, comes back at the start of the fourth, loaded. I mean, absolutely loaded out of his mind. So in the middle of the fourth quarter, he sits down, puts all his stuff, like his sweatshirt and like his little mixed drink on the stairs, like it's a table, right? Like on the stairs in the alleyway. Something big happens. He gets up with the drink in his hands. All the alcohol flies out of it. Hits the stairs, hits people, tries to drink, looks confused that nothing's there. So loaded. About 3 minutes later, the guy starts rolling weed on his lap in the middle of the game. Same thing happens. Six to the three, gets up. The thing's not wrapped yet. The weed flies everywhere. It's the middle of the damn game. I cannot believe what I was seeing. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen being at an NBA basketball game.
You had to see that, then you had to see the fourth quarter in overtime for the Knicks. I mean, that's a tough view. I only had to watch the fourth quarter in overtime. I didn't get to see that.
That self-medicating might have helped if it had been corralled properly.
And you know, the funny thing is, the minute that dude came back, things started going south. So I blame that dude. I blame that dude.
That guy's going to get famous virally going, hey, everything was great for the Knicks until this happened, right?
Oh, my God. I mean, guys, like, look, and I was at game two. That was one of the most exciting, best basketball games I've ever been at, the way that game ended. This was equally as bad. So now I feel like it's kind of even now with the way those two games ended, with, frankly, the Sixers probably should have won game two, and Knicks probably should have won this game. And now you got two more games to go. I'm curious. What do you guys think? Like, you think Embiid is just so toast in terms of his knee and his conditioning, or do you think he has something left for the last two games?
No, I think this is the Embiid we're going to get. I mean, look, you could see that at least he is close to what he is defensively, right? Because he can still move around as well defensively as he needs to. He can still facilitate on offense. Again, a triple-double tonight. But offensively, this is just what he is. On one leg, he is eminently defendable. He's not shooting well. He's shooting volume. If they're looking at game six, I'm saying, okay, the guy we have to stop is Maxey. Because Embiid, no matter what he does, by the time we get to the fourth quarter, he's going to be wiped, right? He can't sit down, right? You can't play play him all 48 minutes because he's exhausted, but you can't sit him down because the Knicks come back. And what do they do tonight when Embiid sat down? So there's nothing you can do. I'd let Embiid be Embiid, and I would make sure, because Maxey's the guy that's killing them in this game, and that's what you have to look at for Game 6. Nobody else is going to step up. Tobias Harris is not going to score 40 points. Maxey's the guy. He's been feeling it, and he's having one of those all-time great playoff series. They have to change and say, okay, instead of Embiid being the one and Maxey, it's got to be Maxey's the guy we got to stop, and Embiid can get his points around, but eventually he's just going to get tired.
Yeah, and look, the other factor tonight, you guys, the Knicks had 6 offensive rebounds. They've had fewer than 6 offensive rebounds only 2 other times this entire season. From the start of the year to now, they've had fewer than 6 offensive rebounds only twice. I wonder how much of that is Bogdanovich being out and having to stretch these guys even further in terms of minutes. Are they losing some of that extra energy? I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if you want to see Alec Burks out there. You know what I mean? So I don't know what the answer is there, but, you know, the Knicks, they had at least 11 or 12 offensive rebounds in a couple games, 15 and 20 in this series. And to have only 6, not getting those second-chance points, and combine that with the general poor shooting, it's just going to be tough to win these games. And that's the thing that sucks. They were still going to win the game if they would have just not done multiple really dumb things at the end. Heck, I can even argue, and look, I'm not one to always blame the coach. Thibodeau apparently told Deuce McBride to foul. But at the same time, after he makes that 3, you know, you got to call timeout and advance the ball. You know, you waste 5 or 6 seconds off that shot clock with Brunson dribbling down the floor. He gets off a really poor shot. It gets partially blocked by Batum, I think. I think Tibbs should have called the timeout there to advance the ball. And on that Maxey 3 before, Mitchell Robinson shouldn't be in the game. All right, you got 2 timeouts there. Use one. You've got to put your 5 smartest switchable defenders on the floor. You don't need size on the floor. They need a 3-point shot. All right, you want to post up Joel Embiid? Have fun. Go ahead. Don't care. Mitchell Robinson shouldn't even be on the floor there to not step up on the long Maxey 3. So between the coaching and the execution at the end of the game, these are games that if you throw them away, they usually come back to haunt you. Luckily, the Knicks had a 2-game cushion, and they'll have a chance to kind of make good on it. But, I mean, it's not good. It's just not good.
Yeah, what do we have? 1-1 on these type of games, right? Sixers, 89% chance to win game 2 off of all those statistical algorithms we run, and then today 95% for the Knicks. But
is that what it was, 95%?
95 was the win prob.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, 95.4 if we want to be precise.
That's fantastic.
Thanks, buddy.
Well,
we
like the specificity. So get in right now is $190 on the resale market for tickets for Game 6. How many Knicks fans get to take over this time?
Oh, that place is going to be packed. And I was shocked because I have 2 young kids, so I'm not going to go down there because my wife would murder me. But, you know, I was looking, and good seats, like 20 rows up center court with like $250. You got to spend $400 to get into the upper deck at the Garden for any of these games. So I think there will be plenty of Knicks fans in the building for game number 6, no doubt about it.
All right, well, from your lips to God's ears, that's what I'm hoping for. Because, you know, honestly, if I wasn't on the air, like Harmon said to me before the show tonight, hey, this is good that you get to talk about this game for 4 hours. And I'm like, no
it's not.
I want to just shut everything off and go in a sensory deprivation tank and wake up Thursday night right when the game is tipping off. Like, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to sit here and spend the next 2 days thinking about it, because I've done that so many times for the Mets and Jets games and now at the Knicks. And no, I just want to fast forward.
And by the way, here's the worst part. Apparently, at least this is according to
a tweet
a couple minutes ago, that since the Pacer and Bucks series is going 6 games, that game is going to be at 7 o'clock on Thursday. Do you know what time tip-off for Knicks and Sixers are going to be on Thursday in Philadelphia? 9 p.m.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
That's a full day of revelry before the chaos ensues.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine how lit in many different ways that arena is going to be with that game that's starting until 9 o'clock? My gosh.
You know, and let me just bring this up with you lastly, because, you know, you mentioned it here, and this is something that, look, we just have to deal with the NBA playoffs. But you look at the injuries that everybody is going through, and now that with Randall out, and now Bogdanovich is out for the year. And I was thinking about this today, is that you talk about being stretched out and playing too many minutes. It's that The two moves the Knicks made at the deadline, which were supposed to catapult them, were Bogdanović and Burks. And Burks can't even get in the rotation, and Bogdanović is now out for the year after just kind of being okay for a little while. So it's like everything they did, the two big moves they made, the young players they traded, Quentin Grimes, the deadline, like they now have nothing to show for that. Absolutely nothing to show for that.
Wait. Yeah. Grimes isn't playing for them anymore?
Oh,
what
no.
What the hell are you talking about?
No, Stephen A. Smith will tell you. Just ask Stephen A. Smith. He'll tell you about Grimes.
Oh, I forgot.
It's good. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Don't ask Stephen A. about that. But I'll be honest with you, though. I'm not sure if they win game one and two. And only hit a couple shots. Bogdanović actually hit some really big shots in the first two games of this series. Like, some really big threes when he played. They needed those in two games that, you know, went down to the, you know, only a couple points at the end. And unfortunately, Burks played him. Look, Burks has no one to blame for himself. He played terribly since he got here, and he played his butt right out of that rotation. So I don't know what the option is here. Maybe you can play Precious a little bit at the four when Josh Hart's not in the game. I don't know. But you guys remember this. When we were growing up in the 90s, the Knicks and Bulls used to play back-to-backs in the playoffs on Saturday and Sunday. Because the ratings were, I remember this. The ratings were so good, they would play back-to-back games, and it was always Knick home games, and they'll never win both of them because it's hard to win back-to-back games in the playoffs. They would play back-to-back Saturday and Sunday at the Garden on the weekends in the mid-90s, Knicks and Bulls, because they did such good ratings. The NBA didn't give a damn. Now you get like three games between, you know, half of these games in these playoff series, which is ridiculous.
You can follow him on Twitter, @Schmielk. That is @Schmielk, Knicks insider, Giants insider, pre-post game host for the Giants as well. John, as always, buddy, appreciate you staying up late. Hopefully, you've made my life a little bit easier tonight. I feel a little bit better. Hopefully, you can get some sleep at some point.
I will attempt it, and I might have to do some self-medicating before I do just that.
There you go.
Godspeed, my friend.
Take it easy, buddy. There
goes All right, boy, take Schmielk. It easy.
See ya. Well, you know, on this date in 1991, Michael Jordan had that great baseline dunk.
Oh, okay, though, that's great. That doesn't make me feel better. Doesn't make me feel better at
well,
all.
Well, but doesn't it make you know, think about it in your head, the little pivot, then the move back, then the...
No, I think about Josh Hart missing the free throw, and I think, you know, I think about Jalen Brunson throwing the ball out of bounds with 10 seconds left.
Yeah.
I mean, just what an absolute collapse.
Does John's arrival with us today in hour three of the show help at all, or is
a
it
little
now
bit.
Got you more agitated that you're going to need a... late night burger run or something.
Oh, I would need that regardless. Like, I'm not saying that, I would.
Well, I mean, it's Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah, no. And look, you really want to know, I'll tell you the truth. You really want to know what, and I don't know if this is the dark side or the bright side, is that if the Knicks lose this series, okay, it's game six Thursday night, and then game seven is Saturday. So if the Knicks lose this series, they lose Saturday. There's Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday when we come on the air. We're already into the next round of the playoffs. I don't have to talk about it. It's great. We're on to other things. I don't have to talk about it if they lose.
Not necessarily true.
No, I mean, we're moving on.
We'll talk about the results from the Kentucky Derby and some of the other games that have been played. But
moving on.
You don't get out unscathed.
No, we're moving on.
And either way, Thursday we'll be in studio and watching it all go down live and in living color.
Yeah, again, late game. Late game on Thursday.
Well, we'll have the second half during our window so people can live and die with every shot missed, every free throw missed, every out-of-bounds call, every timeout that isn't communicated between Thibodeau and McBride. And we'll just roll all the way through.
Exit Albata Fresca, exit Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Coming up next, we get into what is without a doubt the most bizarre story of the night in sports. Keep it right here. Jason and Mike, Fox.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. It is sad songs for the Knicks night tonight. And yeah, we're getting some sad ones. Not the end of the road. It's 3-2 going to game six. Let's just understand. Tap the brakes a little bit.
Well, you're heading down that way.
Just tap the brakes a little bit. Tap the brakes.
Hey, you're standing at the crossroads now, pal.
We have more NBA on the way, but what was without a doubt the most bizarre story of the night tonight. If you had on your bingo card, a beekeeper would throw out the first ball between the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers tonight, well, then you would have won a lot of money. Because the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers were delayed nearly 80 minutes tonight because of a bee infestation. Bees were trying to make a hive just above the top of the netting behind home plate. The game was delayed. Beekeeper showed up, goes up on the joist, takes it down, gets it throw out the first ball. Pretty fun. And now the game is underway. Joining us now on the hotline for that and more, we got stuff on Mike Trout, MLB insider extraordinaire. You can follow him on Twitter at John Morosi. That is John Morosi. John Paul, what's happening, buddy? How are you, man?
Beekeepers everywhere in this great country are having a big night. They're the coolest people on the block. That's all I know. And I have to think that this is the greatest night in the history of beekeepers, and we may now, I would suggest that we potentially add the name of a minor league or major league baseball team as the beekeepers. This is a big night for the industry.
I mean, you may have to get going. I mean, for MLB Network, you may have to get going like a beekeeper all-star team and the votes and all kinds. You may start covering beekeepers across the country. Like, this may change what you do for a living.
I love it. Now, since we're close friends, I'll share this with you. For a long time, I was allergic to bees. It seems as though I have outgrown that allergy. But there was a while where if I had been told there was a bunch of bees at the ballpark, it would probably be the first time in my life I'd say, you know what, guys? I'll let you take this one the rest of the way. I am out. Because I used to be, like, deathly afraid of bee stings because I was legitimately allergic, you know, carrying around the EpiPen, all that stuff. So that would have been, for a while, that would have been, like, exit stage right from Morosi. That probably would have been the one thing that would drive me away from a baseball game. But now I'm good. So I'm more than happy to cover the story now.
There you go. Seems like an opportunity for either the Salt Lake Bees or the old Burlington Bees to go back to Iowa for an opportunity.
Oh, the Burlington Bees. Yes, I remember that team now. Midwest League back in the day.
Birmingham Bees before they became the Rumble Ponies. Yeah, they were the Bees, sure.
There you go. Anyway, so as we float through the I guess we call it the inevitable of Mike Trout anymore, JP. I mean, another sad turn, a meniscus tear, and promising start. Batting average, obviously, struggling, but at least from a power supply, he was there. I don't even know what to say anymore.
It's tough. And obviously, we're talking about one of the greatest players we've seen in our lives. As we speak right now, he was still tied with Gunnar Henderson as the leading home run hitter in baseball. So he, to your point, was off to a tremendous start from a power hitting perspective. And now this, it's not what any of us were hoping to see. I mean, clearly he had put so much time and effort into being that beacon for the organization, certainly losing Shohei in the offseason, and Rendon hasn't been able to live up to the expectations. So for all these reasons, you looked at what he was doing and said, okay, there's some hope now. There's at least some relevancy with the organization, and now it's all gone with respect to his, at least the near term. Now, it's been described that it's not expected to be a season-ending injury, but it's obviously going to take a pretty significant chunk out of his year, and the Angels looking very listless right now in the American League West. The Mariners are playing really good baseball. They have played another good ball game tonight against Atlanta. You've got the defending World Series champions in your division, and Mike Trout really was the one player who seemed to be keeping this Angels organization relevant nationally, if you will. And now not only is Ohtani gone, but the one guy that people would still really be drawn to see is on the IL for a while. So it's just a tough bit of news all the way around for a once proud and still hopefully relevant organization, but it just doesn't look that way right now.
You know, and the thing that I can't get past, John Paul, is that, you know, I don't know what the solution is for him. Is the solution for him to not play the outfield anymore? Because that's what you would think, number one. But then you'd think you can't even trust him to run the bases. Like, it's such a difficult thing. Like, I don't know what you can do, because it's just his body. He's been breaking down over the course of the past few years. And you look at his talent and where he's at on the wrong side of 30 and $220 million that the Angels owe him. And you just go, wow, this got really bad really fast.
Right, and it did. And so the question there, and that's where you look at a contract of that length, and certainly we would hope and believe that the Angels have some insurance on that to protect themselves against the downside of him not being available at the moment. But when you look at that and look at how much money is still left on it, I mean, there were some rumblings in the offseason, would Trout be willing to accept a trade, and is that something that he would consider? Perhaps, but who can accept the contract? Not because of his ability, of course, but because of the injury. And I think that's just the reality of where the Angels have arrived with someone that's been the standard bearer of the sport for a very, very long time. It's just the mathematics don't work in any way. The games played per year are dropping as his age is rising, and that as we know is not a promising combination, and it's just difficult to see how that reverses itself here in the near term.
JP, as we look at the standings, as we get out of the first month of play, the Orioles living up to expectations, even with the brief appearance of Jackson Holliday, tried to force it, didn't work, send him back down. But there's the Yankees, because I got to keep piling on Smith, because, you know, the Knicks lost, so the Yankees
right.
doing well is also going to hurt his soul. So let's talk about the Yankees a moment, shall we?
Sure, very good. And by the way, Jason, not to pile on here, but I was actually boarding my flight, and for some reason, I very rarely check NBA playoff scores. As you know, I'm a baseball hockey guy, but I had walked past the TV in the airport, and it showed the Knicks game. I said, oh, they're up by five with like less than a minute left. They're good. They're going to win this basketball game. And then I land, and I did not mean at all or intend to mention this, but I was scrolling through Twitter. And I was like, what? What happened in that game? So anyways, Jason, that was how I experienced this very unique evening in American professional sports. But the New York Yankees, they lost tonight, though. They lost
right.
to the Orioles. And so for me, it's not just they've played well. I think Baltimore right now is a little bit of a better team. You mentioned Jackson Holliday on Baltimore's side. For me, Gunnar Henderson's the story. I mean, he has played like an MVP. I know it's the first month of the year, but this is what an MVP looks like. I mean, he's a left-handed hitting shortstop with power, and he's just a dynamic defensive player. So the AL East is good. It's deep. The Yankees, I think, when you consider where they're at right now with Soto Volpe's a better offensive player than he was last year. Rizzo's playing every day again. I think we've seen some better at-bats from the young catcher Austin Wells this week. So Jason, I'm sorry to tell you, the Yankees are better than expected. But you know what? The Mets are too. And Kodai Senga is going to come back. The big question, though, is how good do the Mets have to play to convince my co-host, Sternsy, to not sell at the deadline, to not move guys like potentially a Luis Severino or a J.D. Martinez or a Pete Alonso. They're going to have to play really well because the Braves and Phillies, my friend, they ain't going anywhere.
All right, well, here's where I got three big things to say to you. Oh, I just discovered what happened to the Knicks rant. Number one, the Mets just need to be 500 because, right, 85 games gets you in the playoffs. As long as they can't be five or six games out. If they're 500, they're absolutely fine. So I'm absolutely okay with that.
Okay.
Two, the Hurricanes won tonight, so my Stanley Cup or bust season moves on to the second round of the playoffs. I'm happy about that. And three, if you remember, who did I tell you was going to be the AL MVP this year? Who did I tell you? I told you
Gunnar Henderson
was going to be the AL MVP this year. I told you that.
Never said that.
Gunnar Henderson, you got that. No, I remember that from our earlier conversation, and you're spot on about the Mets. I mean, the thing about that, though, that I wonder is David is a long-term strategic thinker and very objective. When you really get down to it, Jason, think about this. When you look at the Mets and you look at the Phillies and you look at the Braves, do you watch these three teams and say, yeah, I can see the Mets beating these guys in a playoff series or finishing ahead of them in the regular season? I mean, I love you, man. That's a bit of a leap of faith. So, we'll see. But here's my thing.
Did you see the Diamondbacks beating the Dodgers last year? Did you see that happening?
No, I didn't
see it, right?
I didn't. Corbin Carroll doesn't play for the Mets, though, so I don't know. We're gonna see. But no, here's the thing.
That's
very, very fair. That's all very fair. But my point is, they're playing better than you thought they were going to play. They're playing good baseball. There is still, I think, when you think about Senga coming back, Nimmo's going to hit better as the season goes along. This is a good baseball team, not a great team, but a good team. And for that, Jason Smith, I congratulate you on this final night of April.
There you go, Smith. You got your victory lap. Can I pour one out for former White Sox star Jose Abreu, who is designated for assignment in what becomes the latest turn in a miserable Houston season?
Goodness gracious, what has happened there? You know, the Astros, I keep getting asked, do I think they're going to get better? Do I see a path for them? And the answer is not really, to be honest with you. We just talked about the AL West. Seattle's a much better team. Texas is a much better team. And Abreu looks completely lost. The idea is he's going to go down to the minor leagues and find a way to get his swing back and work on it. We will see. But the question of what are we seeing that indicates that he's close to bouncing back, the answer on that is not a whole lot. I mean, there is nothing I'm seeing right now. He's a great guy, classy guy. I was actually there on the first day of his first spring training with the White Sox. It was fun to cover that. So I'm pulling for him, rooting for him. But my goodness, guys, we're not seeing a whole lot of positive trend lines there for Jose.
On Twitter at John Morosi, that is at John Morosi, and maybe your leading vote getter in the Beekeeper All-Star team. Pope, as always, buddy, appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, gentlemen. I love it, and I'm going to pull for the Knicks. I believe they can find a way, Jason.
Thanks.
I'm behind you. I'm supporting you, my friend. Because last I checked, the Pistons are not involved in these playoffs. Is that correct?
Well, they have a bye. They're automatically in the finals. So
I believe they have a bye. They have a bye to the 2028 playoffs. I believe is how that works.
There you go.
So we'll catch up with you in 4 years.
All right, Pope. We'll see you, man. Have fun.
All the best, guys. Buddy. Thank you.
Advance it 4 years. Just skip it.
The 2028 playoffs. Cade Cunningham's going to be 36 by the time that happens. Oh, my goodness. Wow. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the TireRack.com studios. Time now to find out what's trending in the wide world of sports from Brian Fenley. BF, what do you got, my friend?
Yeah, Jason and Mike, I thought the Pistons were going to get relegated to the G League. I guess that's for another story and another day. But yeah, as far as the NBA postseason is concerned, we got your Knicks up by 6 with 30 seconds to go in a closeout game. All the luminaries were front row at Madison Square Garden, from Patrick Ewing and Bill Bradley to John Starks, and they watched an epic collapse by the Knicks as they got bamboozled in overtime, 112-106. The 76ers force a game 6 with New York leading the series now 3-2. Tyrese Maxey had 46 points, and he said it was his focus before the game that allowed him to play like he did.
Mandatory. Like, we had to. The season on the line. And, you know, we fought for 53 minutes, never gave up. Even when we were down late, guys still went out there and made plays, and it was big time.
Big time. Blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah, I know you like that. You know, like that soundbite. We should just play that coming into a break or coming out of a break.
We should never play it again, is what we should do.
Sounds fair. As far as what we should play is the hits, and that is Talking NBA, and the Cavs with a 104-103 win over the Magic. So that was a game 5. Cleveland leads the series 3-2. Paolo Banchero had 39 points, 8 rebounds, and a losing cause. And no Dame Lillard, no Giannis Antetokounmpo for the Bucks as they outpace the Pacers 115-92, so Milwaukee keeps themselves afloat in the postseason after they stave off elimination, as everybody likes to say, in a game 5. NHL postseason, one game still up and running. That would be the Canucks and Predators, and no signs of this one ending anytime soon. It's one apiece in the third period. A game 5, a Vancouver win. They're on to the next round. Boston had a closeout situation, the Bruins, but they lost at home in overtime, 2-1 to the Maple Leafs, so a game 6 is looming there. The Hurricanes did get it done. They closed it out in a game 5, 6-3 over the Islanders, and the Avalanche moving on after a game 5 triumph on the road against the Jets, 6-3. So even the Jets in the NHL just find ways to lose. Meanwhile,
at least they're scoring. They score a lot.
For hockey standards, I guess you're right.
The Jets have scored 7 goals in the playoffs twice this playoffs. You know the last time the Jets scored 7 points in a playoff game in the NFL? You got to go back to like 2012.
That's true. That is well taken. And lastly, guys, just a quick couple of mentions from baseball. We do have that Dodgers-Diamondbacks game up and running. It's the only game that's still going on. It's only the top of the 5th. Diamondbacks leading 1-0. That's because there was a 2-hour delay because of a beehive that had manifested itself in the netting behind home plate. They brought out the beekeeper. He did his thing, and he was the hero. As far as other games, the Orioles over the Yankees 4-2. Marlins win in 10 innings over the Rockies. The Blue Jays fall short at home to the Royals 4-1. Mets win, White Sox lose, Brewers victorious, so were the Rangers. Astros get it done 10-9 against the Guardians in 10. And lastly, the Padres trying to get themselves back to .500. They win at home 6-4 against the Reds. Yu Darvish picks up his first win on the bump this season, but the Padres are still 3 games below .500. By the way, getting it back to you guys, the White Sox are 18 games below .500.
Thank you very much, Brian Fenley. And to continue to get lower, lower, lower. Thank you. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the TireRack.com studios. Coming up next, are we really going to see LeBron James leave the Lakers? Will he be a free agent? Will he be on a new team next season? He talked about it last night. It's being opined about today. Is it really going to happen? That's next, Fox.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level.
old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.